Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. I'm John Steele. This is going to be one half of a mini pod along with Stuart Smith, so I hope it's going to make one whole pod altogether. Basically, for the next few minutes, I'm going to be rounding up the latest goings-on in J2, covering the weekend games from round 34, and I think Stuart separately is going to be putting together a roundup of the midweek J3 action. The idea is that this is going to go out as a combined podcast, so hopefully you're getting 10 or 15 minutes with me on J2 and 10 or 15 minutes with Stu on J3, possibly the other way around, depending on how things go in the edit. But without further ado, let's review the J2 action from last weekend. Round 34, for the most part, in the books, so eight rounds of the season left. The league leaders Tokushima won 1-0 away at Yamagata in round 34, starting to look very good for that an automatic promotion spot, Tokushima. It was Yudai Konishi with the winning goal in this game on the half hour, a great 1-2 with Yuki Kakita on the edge of the box. This is after Yamagata's midfielder Shun Nakamura had taken a heavy touch and given the ball away. Tokushima did hit the post just before scoring the goal. I think it was Seiya Fujita who rattled the outside of the post, and they also had a goal correctly disallowed for offside in the second half. That was from Koki Sugimori. So Tokushima winning 1-0 away at Yamagata, just about, and then that's a result that leaves them 3 points clear of the second place team, but more importantly, 8 points clear of third place, so 8 points clear in the automatic promotion places. It was also their fifth straight win, so not only are they sitting pretty at the top of the table, but they're in pretty good form going into the home straight, the last eight matches. Second placed Fukuoka also won 1-0, also away from home. This is at their near neighbours Yamaguchi. I think it's close enough to call it a derby, even though Yamaguchi are not on Kyushu, they're on the mainland, but the two cities pretty close together. Asahi Masuyama got the crucial goal in this game, just 15 minutes from full time. This is after Yamaguchi's goalkeeper Genki Yamada had made a complete mess of catching a corner kick from Emil Salomonsson. He flapped at that and the ball ran loose. Masuyama was able to drill it through a crowd of players into the net. Before the goal, we should shout out Fukuoka's goalkeeper Masaaki Murakami, who made a brilliant save with his feet to keep out Kensei Ukita. So that stopped Yamaguchi from going in front. And then Masuyama scored the crucial goal for Fukuoka. So yeah, 1-0 away win for Fukuoka at Yamaguchi. And that puts Fukuoka 5 points clear of third place Nagasaki, because Nagasaki suffered a shock home defeat, 1-0 against FC Ryukyu. Nagasaki nearly scored an own goal in the first half of this game, and this was when a left wing cross was deflected onto the top of the crossbar. I think it possibly hit Hiroki Akino last, but I'm not sure. The goal for Ryukyu came midway through the second half. Ren Ikeda, the substitute, crossed low for Shuto Kawai to score. There was some controversy, and the replays you can see that the ball, when Ikeda's dribbling to the byline, it's very, very close to being over the line. I think maybe if you're a Nagasaki supporter of a Nagasaki persuasion, you might be asking, was that ball out? I think it's a very tight call. Sometimes it will be given, sometimes not. But I watched the replay a few times and I couldn't be sure that the ball had gone over the line. So I think it was probably just about right that the goal stood. But I could totally understand a Nagasaki supporter having a different view. And Nagasaki weren't able to come back. They ended up losing 1-0. And as mentioned, that leaves them 5 points behind Fukuoka. They've been in great form though, four straight wins before this surprise 1-0 home defeat to Ryukyu. So I'm sure they'll be looking to bounce back and get back to winning ways very soon. But yeah, I think as I've discussed with Stuart on the podcast a few times, it's looking like a three-horse race at the top now, with Tokushima, Fukuoka and Nagasaki all sort of pulling away from the chasing pack. There's a gap now of 7 points from third place Nagasaki down to fourth place Kita Kyushu, just to highlight the fact that top group of three teams is moving away now. Fourth place Kita Kyushu did win at the weekend, 1-0 at home against Tochigi, a Tochigi side that's down in 11th place at the moment. It was Kunitomo Suzuki who headed in the winner just after half time for Kita Kyushu. A rarish start for him up front in this game. He's been used off the bench for quite a large chunk of the season. So yeah, Kunitomo Suzuki with the winning goal, Kita Kyushu getting that 1-0 win against Tochigi. Now, Kofu are 1 point behind Kita Kyushu in fifth place, but they didn't play at the weekend. They were scheduled to travel to Ehime and play away at Ehime, but this game was postponed at pretty short notice. This is after an Ehime player returned a positive COVID-19 test result, and I think Ehime had also identified three or four close contacts of that player in the squad. So, you know, safety first. The game was postponed. It wasn't considered safe or appropriate to play. So, yeah, that game's yet to be rearranged. I'm sure it'll be rearranged in due course. There's not much space in the schedule, but I'm sure it will happen. So, yeah, Kofu have a game in hand at the moment in fifth place, 1 point behind Kita Kyushu, as I mentioned. Sixth place, Niigata, had a surprise home defeat, 2-0 at home to Jeff Chiba. It's always a surprising when Jeff win and keep a clean sheet, I suppose. Two goals in the second half for Jeff from their Brazilian duo, Alan Pinheiro with the first, and then Kleber going clean through and around the goalkeeper to make it 2-0. So, yeah, nice to see Alan Pinheiro scoring. He's been a bit of a forgotten man at Jeff this season. So, yeah, good to see him on the score sheet. And, yeah, I think Jeff supporters will have enjoyed that. It's not been a great season for them, as Stuart and I have discussed at length. For Niigata, yeah, pretty disappointing, damp squib of a game. They're 2 points behind Kofu now, but I think more importantly, Niigata 15 points off the automatic promotion places, so it looks like it's going to be another season in J2 for them next year. They have been on a good run, though. This home defeat against Jeff was their first loss in 8 games, so they've been doing okay. But yes, I don't think they're not going to make up that 15-point gap with 8 games remaining. In the rest of the weekend games in J2, Tokyo Verdy cruised to a 3-0 win away at Gunma. Ryoya Yamashita put Verdy ahead with his 6th goal of his debut season. Very impressive, kind of rookie year for him. It was 2-0 before half time. This is after the Gunma goalkeeper, Keiki Shimizu, had a bit of a brain fart and passed the ball straight out to Jin Hanato, the Verdy striker, who accepted the gift gratefully and made it 2-0. Shion Inoue added a 3rd goal for Verdy from close range late on. So, yeah, Verdy winning 3-0 away at Gunma. Okayama and Iwata drew 1-1 at City Light Stadium. Both goals in this game were headers. Very nice flicked header from Seiya Nakano for Iwata, first of all, put the visitors ahead. But Lee Yong-jae replied with an equally important, perhaps a bit more fortunate in terms of Nakano's goal was perfect. Yong-jae's was just good. But yeah, two headers in that game and it finished 1-1. Now, Mito came from behind to beat Kyoto 2-1 in their game. A really nice goal from Keiya Sento to put Kyoto ahead. He settled back into the team nicely after rejoining Kyoto on loan from Yokohama Marinos. He looks right at home there, and he scored a really nice opener, cutting in onto his right foot and curling the ball past the goalkeeper. But yes, Kyoto being on the beach, so to speak, for a couple of weeks, haven't they? There was some poor goalkeeping from Keisuke Shimizu. Bad weekend for goalkeepers with the family name Shimizu. For the equaliser from Mito, it was a Shunpei Fukuhari who was able to score after the goalkeeper Shimizu missed a low cross into the box. And there was even worse defending for Mito's winner. This was a kind of combination of errors from the Kyoto defender Takahiro Iida, who let Fukuhari just run off his back, and the goalkeeper Shimizu, who ended up sort of diving, but he was kind of in the back of the net before the ball somehow. He seemed to lose his bearings. And Fukuhari was able to score his second and Mito's second of the game from close range. So yeah, Mito coming from behind, beating Kyoto 2-1. Three straight defeats for Kyoto, and they're sort of slowly travelling down the table in 10th place now. Disappointing end to a season that promised a lot for them really. You have to imagine that they'll be going back to the drawing board at the end of the season, certainly in defence, where they looked pretty ragged in this game, and they have done in a couple of other games recently. Elsewhere, Omiya beat Kanazawa 1-0 at the NAC 5 stadium. It was Masato Kojima who scored the winner in this game. I seem to be getting on goalkeepers in this roundup. I don't mean to, but the goalkeeping here for Kojima's goal was not very good from Yuto Shirai. He seemed to be caught by surprise or a little bit late, going down to try and save it. I only mention that because Stu and I picked out Shirai quite a few times earlier on in the season as having a really good season. And being really impressive, and it was kind of out of character or out of keeping with the standard we've come to expect from him this season. So Omiya beat Kanazawa 1-0 at home, and Matsumoto Yamaga also continuing to improve slowly but surely. They won 2-1 away at Machida Zelvia at the weekend. All of the goals in this game came in the second half. Masato Tokida put Matsumoto ahead with a deflected and very speculative shot from long range. I think he was as surprised as anybody when it went into the back of the net. And then Koki Tsukagawa doubled the lead for Matsumoto with a header. Yuki Okada followed a really nice goal back for Machida. Unfortunately, it was virtually the last kick of the game in the fourth minute of second half stoppage time. So that game finished 2-1 to Matsumoto. For Machida, 5 defeats in their last 6, so they are kind of hobbling towards the finish line of this crazy condensed season. For Matsumoto, they've only had 1 defeat in their last 7 matches, so that change of coach that they had and that new manager bounce has definitely paid dividends for them. Still a very poor season by their standards, but they're certainly finishing a lot stronger than they started. Okay, so that's a brief roundup of the round 34 J2 games from the weekend. Hope that was informative and useful. We'll take a quick look ahead to the games coming up this weekend in round 35. Now, this is the start of your now standard 3-game J2 week. So with that in mind, most of the fixtures are on Saturday because other teams have got to kind of dust themselves down and go again on the Wednesday night. So most teams are playing on Saturday to give them as much preparation time as possible for the midweek games. And most of the eye-catching fixtures are on Saturday, November the 21st, with a 2 p.m. kickoff. So the leaders, Tokushima, they're away at 10th place and out of form Kyoto. That could be an interesting game, I feel. Second place, Fukuoka, welcome Yamagata. So Fukuoka v Yamagata, second place versus seventh place, and the interesting subplot as well of Yuya Yamagishi, Fukuoka striker, coming up against his former employers. I think he left just last month, didn't he, to go from Yamagata to Fukuoka, so he's going to be up against his old teammates very, very shortly. Third place Nagasaki travel to 15th place Jeff Chiba on Saturday. And I also picked out, I might be stretching a little bit here, but Kofu hosting Iwata. It's 5th place versus 9th place. I don't think Kofu are going to be able to make up the ground on the top two and get into the automatic promotion places. But because they've had that extra rest from last weekend, having their game at Ehime postponed, I imagine they'll be fighting fit and raring to go for this game against Iwata. The other game to keep an eye on, I think, is at 4 p.m. on Saturday, and this is Ryukyu hosting Kita Kyushu. So, 4th-placed Kita Kyushu visiting Ryukyu in 18th, and Ryukyu seemed to win one and lose one. So they won against all the odds, really, at Nagasaki away at the weekend. I wonder if they'll be able to follow that up. They usually lose the game after a win, so we'll see how they do against Kita Kyushu. But to be honest, as I mentioned, I think the real focus should be on the top three because they're pulling away at the moment. So Tokushima away at Kyoto, Fukuoka hosting Yamagata, and Nagasaki away at Jeff Chiba. Probably the games to keep a close eye on at the weekend. And as I mentioned, there's another full round of J2 games coming up on Wednesday. So we might see squad rotation play some role on the weekend as well. All right, everybody, I think that'll do from me. Hopefully, a good brief but informative wrap-up of the latest goings-on in J2 and a quick look ahead to the weekend games. Hopefully, Stuart and I will be back together next week, and we'll round up as much of the J2 and J3 action as we can. And yeah, I think Stuart's coming up in a moment with a J3 roundup from the midweek games, including, congratulations in order for Blaublitz Akita. So thanks as always for listening, downloading, and especially for subscribing on Patreon if you do that as well. Stuart and I and the rest of the guys on the pod, we really appreciate it. All right, that's all for me. Talk to you again soon. Bye for now.
Thank you, Don, for that great throw over. And hello, everyone. My name is Stuart Smith. And yeah, once again, thank you to John for going over J2 with his very forensic eye. I'm on J3 duty this week, and boy, is that an eventful beat to be on these days. We're going to go through the midweek action, but there is only one place to start this wrap-up of the midweek action in J3, and that is at Panasonic Stadium in Osaka, where Blaublitz Akita's 2-0 win meant that they secured the J3 title with 6 games to spare. Goals in either half from Ryota Nakamura, combined with defeat for second place Nagano Parcero, meant that Akita's lead at the top became unassailable. This is an incredible achievement for Ken Yoshida's side. They have 6 games remaining in order to try and defend their unbeaten record and become the Invincibles and write their name into J-League history. I'm sure we'll talk about Akita more in detail, but for now, it's just suffice to say congratulations to everybody involved at the club for this historic achievement. But behind Akita, there is an almighty traffic jam for that precious second place and the promotion spot that comes with it. Nagano Parcero sit in second, but like I just mentioned, they missed a huge opportunity to put distance between themselves and the chasing pack, as they were beaten in dramatic style, suffering a 1-0 home defeat by Gainare Tottori. Hikaru Arai's 94th minute winner secured Tottori's 3rd consecutive win and damaged Nagano's promotion hopes in the same breath. Tottori are now 3rd, and quietly they're rolling into some good form at the key point of the year. Sagamihara registered their 5th draw in a row, as they were held away at Iwate Gruja Morioka in the 1 o'clock kickoff. Sagamihara actually needed a late equaliser from their Brazilian forward Yuri to cancel out Yusuke Muta's first half goal, 1-1 it finished in Iwate. FC Gifu recorded a much needed home win to keep up their promotion chase as they eased Seretse Osaka's under-23 side aside. It was 0-0 at halftime, but the introduction of forwards Shota Kawanishi and Shohei Aihara changed the course of the game, and 3 second-half goals from Brazilian Leleo, Shohei Aihara, and an own goal gave Gifu what was, in the end, a comfortable win. Rawaso Kumamoto's season is very much in crisis mode now, as they suffered a damaging 2-1 home defeat against FC Imabari, a defeat which is their 3rd in a row. 2 goals from Brazilian forward Leo Mineiro, his first goals for Imabari since joining from Fagiano Wakayama, put paid to Kumamoto, although Hayato Asakawa did notch his 9th goal of a very highly productive campaign. Yeah, another damaging defeat for Rawaso Kumamoto. As we look at the table, only 3 points separate Nagano in 2nd with Kumamoto in 7th, meaning that we have an almighty scrap coming for the 2nd automatic promotion spot to J2. Elsewhere, Fukushima were held 2-2 at home by YSCC. The visitors twice came from behind with substitute Onye Oguchiku, I think I've pronounced that right, scoring the equaliser in the 95th minute, and a very nice goal it was too. Yohei Ono's early double, both goals coming in the first 15 minutes, was enough to see Katale Toyama to victory away at Vanrare Hachinohe. Yasuhito Morishima's late goal after some non-VAR but kind of controversial goal drama, and Fujieda Mai FC, a Shizuoka derby win against Azul Clara Numazu. And finally, Kagoshima United won 2-1 at Kamatamari Sanaki on the back of 2 goals from winger Rei Yonezawa, both fine goals, but the first one was a superb team goal and a superb finish to match. If you can, please check the highlights of that game. It was a very good game for goals. So, take a deep breath, because coming up at the weekend, we have the slightly weird prospect of none of the promotion hopefuls playing each other. As we look at the fixtures, Nagano will look to get back on track when they head to Azul Clara Numazu. Tottori will be looking to make it four wins on the spin when they host Vanrari Hachinohe. Gifu entertain Fujieda, while Kumamoto travel to Seretse Osaka under-23s, looking to get their season back on track. And FC Imabari welcome Fukushima United to their home, and the Blau Blitz Akita invincible season continues as they defend their honour against Katale Toyama. That should bring you up to date with all the latest happenings in J3. Once again, I'd like to say a big thank you to John Steele for going over J2, and a big thank you to everyone else who listens and gives us feedback, especially the Patreons. We always appreciate when people support us and support what we do. In the meantime, please stay safe wherever you are. Please enjoy the football, and we'll be back with you next week. But in the meantime, goodbye for now.